This is Director Jared Maples of the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness, and I want to welcome you to Season 2 of Intelligence Unclassified. This season, we are refocusing our episodes to better reflect our office's three core mission areas: counterterrorism, cybersecurity, and emergency preparedness. We'll be pulling both local and national experts in these three fields, all in an effort to discuss New Jersey's diverse threat landscape and offer you a unique perspective on the current trends and issues facing the Garden State. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. Please feel free to add this podcast to your RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow NJOHSP on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at NJOHSP. All links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njhomelandsecurity.gov.
Welcome, everyone, to the 100th episode of Intelligence Unclassified. My name is Rosemary Martirana. I'm the Director of Intelligence here at the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness. And to commemorate this event, we have our very own Director Maples here with us. Sir, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Today, we'll be talking about what we've experienced as an office and as a country, really, since his tenure began and what we expect to see and do in the new year. Director Maples, our listeners have been hearing you on our podcast introduction over the last several months, but this is the first time we've ever actually had the pleasure of speaking to you on this episode. So again, thank you very much for joining us. So let's just go ahead and get started. Sir, if you could please just give us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Well, sure. First of all, as the voice of the podcast series, it's definitely good to be actually be on a full episode. So thank you for having me.
Of course.
Second, I'm originally from upstate New York, a little town outside of Syracuse, New York. And I went to spend some time in Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania, and then went to school at Valley Forge Military College, followed by Villanova. So then I moved to a federal position after college, after graduating from Villanova at the Central Intelligence Agency, where I actually worked for Department of Defense first and then moved to the Central Intelligence Agency. I was not a spy. I did protective operations. So I did a job very similar to a Secret Service agent, protecting the director and the DNI, and then moved into a high threat protection unit that's part of the CIA. I think it's pretty important not to say spy, but there's a broad variety of what we did at the agency. And I think I bring a lot of that to the table here in New Jersey. So ultimately, I ended up leaving the federal government and being offered a job as one of the deputies here in New Jersey, and then ultimately was asked to become the director. So I have a pretty broad experience from counterterrorism to preparedness, coup planning, continuity of operations, and actually a little bit of cyber and data analytics. So kind of bring across all three of our operational areas. And it's been a pretty incredible career. I've had a lot of fun, been to a lot of different countries and continents and in a lot of hot spots and gotten out of all of them. So I'm here sitting here talking to you. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just say it's great having another upstate New Yorker in the office. You know, I felt a little alone being the only one from Syracuse up in the front office originally, but great to have you here. So what, in your opinion, makes New Jersey so unique and our jobs so important here in the state?
Well, one thing that's been very interesting to me coming up from D.C. and really having a global perspective in my past job is the nexus between all the global issues that are happening in New Jersey. It really comes to a head here. There's an incredible concentration of critical infrastructure. As you know, it's the densest populated state in the country. We have 1,000 people per square mile, and the rest of the country averages about 87. From a financial services sector perspective, we have an incredible amount of banks, of operations, the back-end operations of financial sector from New York and then across the globe. The infrastructure from transportation, so whether it be railways or air or the ports, it's really an incredible amount of operations that happen every day that impact the rest of the world, and certainly the country, but definitely the world. And it all runs right here through New Jersey. It often is overlooked. Admittedly, I even overlooked it, but I certainly don't now. It's an incredible place. There's an incredible, diverse, rich population, rich history, and it all sort of combines here in one place. And that makes the job very important because it really does focus, as I mentioned before, on all three of those other areas, the counterterrorism and intelligence, the preparedness and resiliency, and then the cybersecurity. It all does culminate in the state here in a way that is, I think, unique to the rest of the country.
Yeah, absolutely. I always joke around with our team here that New Jersey tends to be the purgatory or limbo that resides between New York and D.C., and it seems as though all roads lead back here, whether that's involving resource allocation, but also a lot of the events we've seen in the last year in terms of terrorist attacks or those interested in harming our environment here. In one word, how would you describe the past year in Homeland Security?
Dynamic is the word I would choose. There is a crisis a minute, but then also there's a large-scale strategic approach that we have to take. That's malleable and it continues to be redefined and reapproached. And because of that, dynamic is the word I would use.
Ah, great word. So how has 2017 been similar or different to what we experienced in 2016, you think, then? Is there a big difference or any similarities you've seen in the last year?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with cybersecurity. I think on the first part, we had the election, the gubernatorial election, which was a huge issue here in our state, particularly after the 2016 presidential election cycle. Largely what we were focused on was hacking and some of the inroads that foreign and hostile actors were able to take on the election system. I'm happy to announce that New Jersey was not one of the ones targeted by the Russian government, and that played certainly to our benefit. But then also the actual security of the sites themselves, making sure that people can come and exercise their democratic rights to vote as citizens in peace and make sure that they could be safe while doing so. So it really kind of came together with all three of our operational divisions. And one of the main differences, I think, to 2016 to 2017, I wouldn't say it's a difference, but we had the Rouhani attack throughout us and in New York, obviously, or throughout New Jersey and New York last year. This year, we had SIPOF, which just happened to the West Side Highway, the bike path off the West Side Highway in New York. He, of course, was living in New Jersey while he had plotted out and planned and executed the attack across the river, amongst others. So there's this continuing and evolving threat that we face from homegrown violent extremists, also the organized terrorist cells, and then the lone wolf actors that are out there. And it may not be, you know, similar to the Las Vegas attack. It may not necessarily have a direct tie to some of the overseas pieces, but certainly is a violent act that we have a focus on here in New Jersey. And then the final thing I would say, and again, it crosses all three of our operational areas, is the emergence or the reemergence of some of the hate-based and biased protesting that we see across the spectrum, really across the political spectrum, across the racial perspective, across the religious perspective. We have a large amount of partners throughout the faith-based community, many of whom have been targeted really across all faiths. I don't think there's a denomination in our state that hasn't had some sort of a targeting in the past 6 months, certainly, if not the last year. And so that's something that we've had to focus on, I think a heightened focus on than we did last year, although it was a focus. And then also you saw Charlottesville and some of the issues that we had there and the protests, the counter protests, the law enforcement issues that happened as a result of those, unfortunately, the loss of life, and then the ensuing kind of chaos that those incidents bore out. So those are some differences, I think, between the last year that are certainly something we're focused on here.
And based on the incidents you just described, you know, how do you anticipate Homeland Security professionals in our office, but nationally and internationally for that matter, adapting to this environment? And how do we ensure that we're protecting our public first and foremost? How do we adapt to these changing issues we see on a regular basis?
Well, I think number one is talking about them, making sure that, information is disseminated about what we're seeing. We have a fantastic viewpoint. In addition to being very diverse and having a rich cultural history in New Jersey, we also have access. You had mentioned in between the two major markets in New York and Philadelphia. We have some incredible access to experts. We have incredible access to information. We have a great relationship with the FBI, the Federal Department of Homeland Security, the New Jersey State Police, the Office of the Attorney General, and so on and so forth. We can continue on going on the list. And partnerships and that information sharing between the partners is becoming such a huge and vital part of what Homeland Security professionals do on a day-to-day basis. In our state, certainly, and indeed the country and the rest of the world, it's how we're going to get around and get through an attack and be resilient and recover from an attack, for example, or a man-made issue or a natural issue or a cybersecurity attack. I think the information sharing is evolving. It's evolving in a very positive way. The partnership is evolving in a very positive way. And it's something we need to continue to focus on here in our state, and we're certainly going to. Those emerging relationships and the resultant information sharing from those partnerships are really key.
Absolutely. So what do you think our greatest achievement has been this year as an office?
I think a couple different things that we've done have been really impactful to the state. One of which, I talked a little bit about the faith-based issues that have come up, and we were able to craft out some grant funding. And I'm happy to say we're working right now with the legislature and the executive branch OMB to make sure that we've got some more funding in place for the future. That's definitely been a big impact for us and in a good way. And then also the Hometown Security Initiative and really doubling down on that and getting out. And I talked about partnerships in the last question, getting out to the local communities, getting out to the local law enforcement partners, but also the companies and the small and medium sized businesses and some of the folks that may not have access to really cutting edge information or briefing or access to, quite frankly, to law enforcement, Homeland Security professionals like ourselves. It gives that immediate open access to the community. And I think in that, we're going to see a heightened uptick in situational awareness from our citizens here in New Jersey, from our visitors here in New Jersey. And, you know, you hear about the See Something, Say Something campaign, for example, and that is huge. And a lot of people need to understand what that looks like. And that's something we're able to brief out in that initiative and make sure is very clear across our state. And I'd add a third thing. I think our relationships with the faith-based community has grown stronger. And that's another area where I think we can really work together with that group to make sure that we're trying to prevent, deter, and protect all the things that we're responsible for here in our state and recover. I'd add that not just in the terrorism realm, but also in natural disaster, the faith-based community played such a huge part in helping out our brethren and sisters and brothers in Puerto Rico, in the U.S. Virgin Islands, in Florida, and Texas. They're partners, and they're going to remain that. And I'm very proud of what we've done as an agency to continue our relationships with them and grow the relationships with them.
Absolutely. So what do you think our greatest challenge has been from, or what challenges have we faced this year? And then more importantly, do you think these mirror the challenges we're seeing across the country as a whole?
I'll start with the country as a whole. I think one of the biggest challenges we face is the political rhetoric and some of the issues of the divide between a lot of our citizens. And that's certainly something we experience here in the state. I think to a lesser degree, we're very good about recognizing that when the context of security and the politics are aside, this is an apolitical role. Our agency is an apolitical job, and it really doesn't matter who is in a position of power or who is sort of running things. We're going to do the best we possibly can as a Homeland Security enterprise. And certainly I, as the director, that's a focus of mine, and making sure that the state of New Jersey is secure. So really punching through that rhetoric has definitely been something that we've, I think, been able to do and something we're focused on as well. All citizens deserve to be safe. All faith-based organizations should be able to pray in the way that they believe and in peace and safety. And we're going to continue to enforce that and try to focus on that here in New Jersey. So that's definitely a big challenge. And then one of the other issues, and it gets into that a little bit, is, you know, we have an open and free society in New Jersey and in the United States. And how do you best secure the population? And I mentioned the visitors to our state. We have a ton of visitors to New Jersey, as I think you know, down the shore, certainly 4th of July throughout the summer, but then also transiting through our state to New York, to Philadelphia, transiting by train. We have an incredible volume of visitors to our state. So how do we make sure we secure all those visitors and then all of our citizens, all of our 9+ million citizens, in a way that also protects their freedoms? And that's a real challenge, because there's a lot of things we want to do, but we want to make sure we're doing it within the bounds of the law to protect and respect those freedoms. And it's certainly a focus we have as well.
Absolutely. So anything in particular we can expect to see from NJOHSP next year?
Well, I mentioned the relationships and partnerships. We're going to see a growing of that. You're going to see a lot more public exposure to our products, what we're putting out there regarding the threat we're seeing, the risk that we're seeing, and then most importantly, what to do about it. The nexus to New Jersey and how small, medium-sized businesses, citizens, large-scale corporations. I could literally rattle off a list of Fortune 100 and 500 companies that are here in New Jersey and really across the board. And then a lot of public sector information, a lot of public sector personnel and data and information we're trying to protect. I think you'll see a heightened increase in public awareness and what we're trying to put out there, whether it be through advertising campaigns, certainly production dissemination, and then just making sure that our citizens and our visitors are very well aware of what our capabilities are, what we're trying to do about it, and more importantly, again, what they can do about it on their end.
Excellent. Any fond memories from this year that you want to give our listeners an opportunity to peek behind the curtain and hear about?
It's been an incredible whirlwind over the last 6 months. So I became the director in June, and it's been an incredible whirlwind. I would say my fondest memory is when I had the full grasp of the agency and understanding everything we do, is truly appreciating the work of every single one of our employees. I can't say enough about the work they do across all of our divisions. And I came from the Division of Administration, is where my last job before this became director. And I'll tell you that every single day, every single person here is focused on protecting their citizens and the citizens of New Jersey and their family and their friends. That's certainly why I'm here. That's why I do the job. And I'm proud and happy to say that that's why the rest of our agency does the job as well. That's definitely my fondest memory, getting to know real specifically what everybody's doing. It's been great.
Absolutely. All right. A couple fun questions here now. So,
oh boy,
here we go. Bruce or Bon Jovi?
That's an easy one. It's Bruce Springsteen all the way. It's not even a close. And there's a funny story about this. So we moved from Virginia. So I worked and lived in Virginia for most of my professional career. And as we were driving up, my wife and I drove separately. I had my son in the car, and we both listened as we crossed the border and took the obligatory picture next to the Welcome to New Jersey sign. I listened to Bruce Springsteen, Born to Run, and she had Bon Jovi. I'm assuming Living on a Prayer. I don't know. Bon Jovi's good. I like him. There's no question. But I'm a boss guy.
So Bruce trumps all. Gotcha. Okay. So a couple questions for our foodies. Where is your favorite breakfast spot?
Unquestionably, John and Patty's in Ocean City, New Jersey. It's fantastic. I get the Texas Blue Scrambler.
Ooh.
And it is solid.
With
cranberry walnut bread. Yeah, it's pretty solid.
Okay. How about lunch?
Rutt's Hut.
Rutt's Hut.
Also, there's some great lunch spots. And, you know, I'll tell you one quick story. I went down to D.C. in the spring for a relatively somber occasion. We repatriated the remains of one of my former colleagues. And I walked up very somber. The caissons is in Arlington National Cemetery. And I walked up and the first thing, I see a couple of the guys from my old unit. And the first thing they said to me after patting my stomach was, man, you're eating a lot of pizza up there in New Jersey. So I think I have to also find a favorite workout spot while I'm at it.
Oh, well, that being said, what's your favorite pizza spot?
So I like Ralph's Pizza in Nutley, New Jersey.
All right.
That place is fantastic. And they do a great job.
Excellent. All right. So just to conclude, if you had to leave our listeners with one message, as we bring season two of Intelligence Unclassified to a close, what would that be, especially here before the winter holiday season?
So, well, first of all, again, in closing, thank you very much for having me on the 100th podcast anniversary episode. It's quite the honor, certainly, as director to be able to sit here with this esteemed podcast series. So thank you for that. I think one of the biggest issues we're seeing coming up is, and you mentioned the winter holiday season. New Jersey has some fantastic malls. In addition, I didn't even mention those earlier on the critical infrastructure piece. And it's something we're focused on. We have detectives out every day coordinating with the FBI, the state police, making sure that we're out there and the county prosecutors, the local municipal governments. There's a lot of festivals out there. So that heightened awareness on our law enforcement community, I can assure you, is there. We need to make sure there's a heightened awareness from our citizenry as well. So that see something, say something. One of the taglines we like to use is homeland security starts with hometown security. There's no question that if we're able to stop these attacks, prevent these attacks, and overcome these attacks, it's going to be at the root. It's going to be with our citizens, in our local communities, municipalities, county governments, and on up. So that's a huge key. And in wrapping it up, I'd say if you see something this holiday season, say something. And finally, I wish you all a happy and safe holiday season, and we'll be back with you all in the new year.
And sir, thank you on behalf of the organization, on behalf of myself and the team here in the podcasting room for being on the 100th episode of the Season 2 podcast. And we look forward to working with you and hearing all the great things, of course, that we're going to be doing next year. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Again, all links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njhomelandsecurity.gov. If you have any ideas or topics for future episodes, please contact us on Twitter at NJOHSP or email us at intelunclass@njohsp.gov. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to Intelligence Unclassified.